Good morning, everybody. It is so wonderful and so exciting to see you. Many of you I had a chance to meet last year, whether it was if you were visiting in Israel or I was visiting your various high schools, and some of you I haven't had a chance to meet yet. But all of you, I'm excited to meet now in this special, special occasion as we meet together for the first time in the Yeshiva Beis Medrash as members of Shana Aleph, boys who have come together, come to Eretz Yisrael, come to Yeshiva for the year, hopefully for a year of great learning, religious growth, and self-development. It is thrilling to have a chance to speak to you just briefly and to offer you a little bit of a Dvar Halacha. And the topic that I chose to discuss, actually, I think is appropriate, not only because of the, so to speak, Halacha Shebo, but also because I think it provides a good framework to think of a nice, inspiring, hashkafic message that is true for anybody who would be listening to this, but especially for Talmid Yeshiva who have come together for a Zman Elul. Because it is about to be Rosh Chodesh Elul, we know that we will be starting the Minhag, as is commonly understood, to blow the shofar throughout Elul. And there are a lot of discussions that are in halachic literature, and it begins with a medrash, as I'll mention momentarily, but eventually this filters down into the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, and even though it's probably not quote-unquote more than a minhag, but it's a minhag that's brought down a Shulchan Aruch and poskim discuss. What is the basis of this? What are the contours? What are the rules of this? So very, very briefly, the Torah brings down a medrash in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that suggests that the origin of this idea is based on our imitation or our commemoration, perhaps better said, of what Moshe did when he went up to get the second set of luchos. We know Moshe, of course, went up to get the first luchos, comes down on Tisha B'Av, and sees the terrible sin of the Chet HaEgel. He then davens for another 40 days for the Jewish people to be forgiven. And then on Rosh Chodesh Elul, he goes up a second time to receive the second set of luchos after Hashem has forgiven us and given us a second chance. Says the Torah, quoting from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that at that moment when Moshe was about to go Alei Hahara, when Moshe went up onto the mountain for the second time, then there was a shofar blowing, a blowing of the shofar in the Machaneh, in order shelo yita od achar avodas galilim, so that the Jewish people shouldn't make the same mistake again. They shouldn't worship a golden calf or anything like that. And therefore, as a way of kind of setting the tone and letting them know, listen, guys, I'm about to leave for 40 days, but this time you really got to behave, says the Medrash, Moshe blew a shofar. As the Pasuk then says, in Tehillim, Allah Elokim Batrua. And therefore says the Torah, Lechein hitkinu chazal shiu token b'rosh chodesh elul b'chol shana v'shana, etc. So, number one, the origins of this seem to be a historical commemoration. And even though it's true, if we were just historically commemorating what Moshe did at that time, we would only blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh. Over the centuries, and this is brought down in the Svarim as well, the minhag evolves to the point that now, of course, as we're all familiar with, we blow not only on Rosh Chodesh, but we blow for the entire month throughout the month of Elul. The Torah continues and brings a second alternative reason why we would blow, or perhaps this is the reason why we dafka blow the entire month, based on the pasuk in the Navi Amos in Perek Gimel, im yitakash shofar be'ir, if we will blow the shofar in the city, will people not be scared? Will people not be inspired to do tshuva? And this is a second idea of inspiration of hisorus for tshuva, an idea which we're familiar with from Rosh Hashanah, and that the Rambam in Hichos Tshuva made very, very famous, that the shofar is a kind of spiritual alarm clock, waking us up from our sleep and our slumber, in order for us to hopefully arouse ourselves to do the work necessary throughout Elul and throughout Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur to really get a good din and to really improve ourselves. There is a very interesting discussion that seems to run through a lot of the machlokos and discussions in the poskim, which ultimately hinges on the question of how you understand these tikkios that we do in Elul. Is this basically merely, as it were, a din derabanan that we have shofar as a daraisa on Rosh Hashanah, and perhaps inspired by this medrash, the minog or the din derabanan evolved, that in a similar vein, we have the daraisa on Rosh Hashanah, but we have a derabanan, a watered down, so to speak, lower version of that throughout the year. But basically, it's patterned off of that, and there's a certain chiyuv that we all have to hear the shofar in Elul, and therefore, just like the Baal Tokea is enabling us to be yotzei on Rosh Hashanah, maybe that's happening every day of Elul as well. Alternatively, other poskim seem to have a different understanding, which is that it's not so much historical commemoration or dafka doing it to be like, you know, as the wake-up call per se, as much as it is a separate idea. It's not connected as a din d'rabbanan, if you will, to the mitzvah d'oraisa Rosh Hashanah. Rather, there's a separate idea. Perhaps it's this historical commemoration idea or some kind of a tzibur chiyuv, but not necessarily. This chakir, as it were, which may sound a little bit abstract, it can be crystallized if you think about a number of discussions. The requirement for who blows the shofar during Elul. Is it only a gadol above bar mitzvah man? Or could anybody theoretically blow the shofar? On Rosh Hashanah, there's a din that you have to, the Baal Tekeh has to be standing. What about during Elul? Or perhaps most importantly, you know, we're very makbid on the sound and the length of the tekios during Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah. Pasul tekios, not tekios, it was too long, too short, it was a broken sound. Do we have to be makbid for the quality of the tekios during Elul? Or, as is often the case, especially in shuls, where you don't, depending on the minion or where you are, you don't necessarily have the best or the most crackerjack shofar blower blowing at a random minion in Elul, sometimes not so uncommonly, the person's kind of struggling to get it out. Is that a problem or not? Obviously, it would be a very big problem in Rosh Hashanah. Do we have similar standards during the month of Elul or not? And while there are debates about all these issues, the common consensus seems to be in halacha and in common practice that we are makel in all these, seemingly implying that we view the shofar blowing during Elul as something other than merely a drabanan, a version of the shofar blowing Rosh Hashanah, but rather seemingly something else, perhaps patterned after the historical commemoration, or perhaps some other idea, but not necessarily just a drabanan version of the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. My main point, however, is the last one I want to make, and that is a very interesting discussion that the poskim have about what if a person is in a community, in a shul, and there is no minion. Or there was no one who could blow shofar, but if you go home, you maybe later in the day know how to blow yourself, or you could find someone who could blow for you later. Or if for whatever reason you missed minyan, is there a reason, a chiyuv even, to blow yourself, to find someone to blow for you? In other words, is the idea, the mitzvah, the minhag of blowing only in shul, betzibur? Or would there be a need in any of the various scenarios that I just mentioned for an individual to have any type of urgency to try to hear or blow shofar for himself? This actually is a very interesting machlokes, and I want to share with you two opinions that debate this that come from the mid and second part of the 20th century. The first is a sefer which I have to admit I previously never heard of, a great Gadol B'Yisrael who I'd never heard of, who evidently it seems like was killed by the Nazis, and the sefer Shut Siach Yitzchak, which seems to have been written by someone named Yitzchak Weiss, who was a great Gaon and Talmid Chacham in Hungary or Slovakia, and died, I think it was in 1942, Hashem Yom Kom Damo. So in his tshuvas, he was asked this question. Not every little shtetl in Europe had people who could get to minyan every day. I'm not clear in reading the tshuva if that was a general phenomenon or he meant specifically as a product of the Nazi persecution, but either way, he was asked if someone went to shul, but they didn't have a minyan, should they still blow or not? And he basically analyzes it and says, listen, if the only reason we had to blow shofar was the historical commemoration of Moshe, so then we know Moshe was in the machane. There's clearly a more than a minyan. That's a public blowing. In that case, he would say, no reason to blow otherwise. But given the fact that there's another reason, the spiritual alarm clock, he says, why wouldn't you do that? Don't you need inspiration in public? It's not just inspiration in private. You don't just need inspiration when you're in shul. And therefore he thinks, rightly shishtadel, a person should try their best to hear shofar blowing, even if they didn't hear it in shul. And he doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. He says many times it's happened himself that there was no one to blow shofar, or there was no minion or something like that. And later in the day, by himself, with or without a minion, he would blow because he thinks it's important. Why not? What's fascinating is that one of the great Gedolim of the 20th century in Eretz Yisrael, that Tzitz Eliezer, disagrees with this. And he has a tshuva in Chelek Yudalid of his tshuva sefer, in which he goes through the exact same analysis. And he says the same thing. If it's based on Moshe Rabbeinu only, then of course he wouldn't do it. But then he adds a big chiddush. He says, what if it's based on this idea of his Urus b'tshuva? Maybe you would think that in that case you should do it, which is exactly what the Siach Yitzchak said. Says Tzitz Eliezer, I look around and the minhag is, no one blows. I've never heard of anyone, he says, blowing in private, or blowing after davening in their house, or anything like that. People only blow in shul in public. Why? What happened to the reason of tshuva, the spiritual alarm clock? So says the Tzitz Eliezer something profound. Yitachein lahazbir zos ki gam v'svara shis orus mikol shofar mikablim, rak yishishomim kol shofar b'tzibor. Even the power of inspiration that the shofar can provide is primarily effective when you're in tzibor. when you're in public, when you're in the community. His oros kazos lo ba kishatokin biyachid beino levein atzmo. But doesn't necessarily have the same impact at all when a person hears the shofar by himself. And this is a fascinating explanation for what he says is the minog not to blow. And that you could take or leave. After all, the Siach Yitzchak did disagree. But the larger truth of what the Tzitzel Ezer is saying is to me unquestionably true and profoundly resonant. And that is that there is something powerful and uniquely effective about doing tshuva in public. I don't mean bearing your most private foibles in public, but by going through a growth process, not alone, but as part of a larger group, as part of something bigger than oneself. You could argue in many ways whether a random individual or even for a person who wanted to learn for the year, maybe there would be certain advantages and benefits to not being in a public group. You wouldn't have as many distractions. You could just learn by yourself. Maybe. But there would be something missing. There's something uniquely powerful, effective, inspiring, and resonant when you're part of a larger group. Each person growing at his own pace or exactly in his own way. But doing it as part of a group of people who are trying to grow in the environment of a yeshiva or something similar to that, that is uniquely powerful, says the Tzitz Eliezer. And the Kol Shofar, which from an audible perspective, auditory perspective, is going to be the exact same no matter where you hear it. But the impact that it would have on you, spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, that's different if you're hearing it in private, or if you're hearing it in a shul, or in a beis medrash, or a part of a group. And I think that that is a powerful message, and a perfect introductory message for us to think about as we about to start Chodesh El together in yeshiva for this unique and incredible growth opportunity. We're all coming together to grow individually, but we are doing it as part of a collective process. In the Beis Medrash, with Chavrusas, with Rebbeim, in a Shir, just hearing the Kol Torah bouncing off the walls in a Beis Medrash, that growth process of coming together as a group is uniquely powerful and has the unique potency and potential to really influence us in a way that if we were just doing it in private, we would not be able to. Just as the Tzitz Eliezer says about the shofar, I think it's unquestionably true about growth in general. Growth ultimately has to be part of a community. Of course, we recognize the needs for individuals and individuality. But Judaism ultimately, Yiddishkeit, Nevodas Hashem, is ultimately a team sport. We come together as a group, to grow as a group, to grow as a collective, to grow as an Am Yisrael. And this, your chevra, as individuals, the broader yeshiva, and of course the broader Kral Yisrael. The way we grow together is different than if we would grow separately. And Judaism is meant to be played as a team sport. And that is the ultimate message, the deeper, resonant message, which I find so meaningful from the Tzitz Eliezer. I think it would be relevant to anyone, even if they're way past their yeshiva years and they were in a shul. This certainly underscores the power of community, but also, and particularly for you guys, today, in this special moment, as you're beginning Elul, in yeshiva for the first time, soak in this message. It's not just the shofar, but the overall experience. Not just the kol shofar, but the kol Torah that you'll be hearing. Growing together in a group has a unique power to grow, to inspire you. You're there for each other, you're there for yourselves, and even when you're there for each other and for somebody else, you're ultimately helping yourself in a way that you could never do if you were alone. Therefore, I wish all of you tremendous hatzlacha, individually and collectively. Hopefully we hear the Kol Shofar, hopefully we hear the Kol Torah. It should penetrate to the deepest part of our beings, inspiring us to have the best year ever, to grow incredibly as individuals and incredibly as a group.